Welcome to Come Drink the Water with Pastor Ben Garotti of Calvary Chapel, Montrose.
I am looking forward to spending time with him, and it's a personal relationship. And when he says, I go to prepare a place for you, man, I'm ready for it. I don't know what kind of place you look have in mind or what you're thinking, but I go out one of my left porticos. Yes, left side. Oh, a golf course. Thank you, Lord. How did you know I like to hit and take the tourist route with trees? I never go straight, but, you know, I love the game and whatnot. And on the right side, I don't know, maybe swimming pools, maybe whatever.
If you've accepted Jesus' invitation into his salvation, those words are for you. As Pastor Ben will encourage you in today's message, when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, you can add your name at the end of that sentence. He is preparing a place in a bigger sense for his church, but he also knows you, and he is preparing a place for you specifically. We can't know for sure what that will look like from this side of eternity, but you can trust that it will have everything you need or desire. Now here's Pastor Ben in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, as he begins his message, Heaven's Open Door.
Now what do you think when you think about an open door? If I went to your house, you invited me in, Ben, just make yourself at home. And I said, okay, and I walked to your closet and opened the door, you would be saying, ay, 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 close that door, or not that door, Ben, right? We want another door. Heaven is opening up a door. We get a peekaboo at what is in the other side right now. The Bible is going to take us right to heaven, and we're going to see it through one man, our author, John, right? He gets this peekaboo. And the Lord, I think the Lord is so good to us, he gives us hints. Hints about what is yet to come. And so, I'm excited about this chapter, another chapter, right? Calvary Chapel, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And this is where we've arrived in chapter 4. Reading our Bibles from the New King James Version of the Bible, chapter 4 of Revelation. God's word says this, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on those thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Once again, what do we have? What is our title? Heaven's Open Door. Here is a peekaboo of what's going on in heaven. You can write, there's a million books that tell you, well, I died 5 minutes, I spent in heaven or whatever. What happened? They closed the door and kicked you out? Nobody's been there. There's been some visitations, right? But we haven't gone to heaven yet. We're still part of the church, right? And so while our spirits might be there for those of us that die, right? Absent in bodies to be present with the Lord, our eyeballs, our new eyeballs that we're going to get with our new bodies haven't experienced that. But the Lord, oh, our Lord, he loves us so much. I don't know how you were raised. I was raised in East LA, right? And for Christmas, we were poor, but we went to this Pentecostal church. And on Saturday night, they always had a Christmas Eve service. They would give us this little bag, the smallest lunch bag you could think about, right? But it had an apple or an orange, one or the other. You didn't get both. It had hard candy, and they had nuts and this and that, right? So they sent us home, and we went home anticipating, certainly grateful to the Lord for the little gift. We had one gift so far. The next day we'd get maybe two or three more, but we anticipated the next day. The Lord allows John to go into heaven so that John could bring back down and have written down something like the Lord is giving us a peekaboo, not so much tantalizing us, but certainly putting something in front of us so that you and I will be anticipating his coming for us in the rapture of the church because we're still alive, or when we die, to be resurrected and be ushered into the kingdom. The Lord does these things so you and I can stay focused on him. The world is full of activity. There's all kinds of things that we could be involved in, but he wants you to have a firm grip on the things that he has for you. And so he opened the door to heaven. And we have guys like John before us who have walked through. Listen, we learn from chapter 1, verse 19, turn to your left. Let's go there real quick, right? And that there is a key to the book of Revelation, right? And Jesus said to John, well, let me get there myself. Chapter 1, verse 19, Jesus said to John, write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. Church, John received the commandment, write them down, right? We learned that this division of the book of Revelation is in three aspects. Three things happen, right? So here's the key to the book of Revelation from 1:19. The things which John saw, right? And what did he see? He saw the vision of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, right? Secondly, the things which are. And that dealt with the seven churches, chapter 2 and 3, which we finished up last week, right? So we're still in the church age. We are still here. But third part, the third aspect, right? The third section, the things which take place after this. Church, the things which take place after this means literally after these things. The Greek word for this, for after these things, is meta tauta, right? And it's significant that the fourth chapter of Revelation, where we find ourselves today, get back to chapter 4, right, begins with this same phrase, meta tauta, or after these things. So someone would say, or someone would ask, well, sorry, Pastor, I missed 1 and 2 and 3. What do you mean after these things? We're talking about after these things means after the things of the church are completed. After the witness of the church, the testimony of the church, the reason you are here, you have come to Jesus, you share with others. You know what? I did have COVID. I might have gotten COVID, but the Lord brought me through COVID, right? And some people, man, I don't know why I took 16 shots to get me here, but here I am. Thank you, Lord, you know, whatever. The point is we share that God has brought us and has us here alive and well, and we're moving forward. So the church has a testimony. Dude, maybe you were born lucky. I wasn't born lucky. I was born in East LA. I just told you that. One of the armpits of the world. But the point is this, right? That the Lord saved me, brought me out, just like he did you from wherever you come from. Some of you guys come from Denver, right? So all your life you've been kicking like Broncos. Someone comes at you, you know, whatever. God has saved you, has brought you, and here you are. And we're grateful to it, right? We know what the Lord has done. It's a witness of us, the church, right? Things And so after the things of the church are completed, things which have not yet taken place, but shall take place after the church testimony is finished on earth. This is what we're going to. This is the next thing. So if we continue to follow this key, and if you ever get to teach and you teach, remember this key, we will find the divisions in this book easy to understand. Once again, number one, the things John saw from chapter one, he saw Jesus, right? Two, the things which are the church period, we just finished it up, and the things which will take place after this. With that, we are now ready for the rest of the scripture. Look at your Bible. That's why we have it. Chapter 4, verse 1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Now, church, let's make some observations that might help us understand this a little bit better. Number one. Something happened to we, the church, between chapter 3, as we finished, right, and chapter 4, right? Something happened. This book that you are holding and reading, as we turn from one chapter to the other, something happened. And just to bring it to you a little bit more clear, the word church, we talked about the church, it occurred 19 times from chapter 1 through chapter 3, 19 times. Then it will not be mentioned again, the word church, until chapter 22. That's a long time, right? So yes, where did it go? What happened to the church? The answer, it went up. The church went up. Like John is hearing that voice like a trumpet saying, come up here. So too, we, the church, right, will be taken up. We are going to be raptured, right? We're going to be taken to the sky. So church, the end of church history occurred. It has happened as we're in this book, right? And while there will be many changes, here are at least two that will be a reality. Number one, we will no longer, listen to me, you will no longer witness to an unsaved friend. You will no longer witness to a family member. You will no longer witness to someone who's been playing church. It's over with. The church period is over and done with, and we are out of the earth. Secondly, the church would have been transported, as I said, to heaven for a 7-year period, during which time there will be great tribulation that comes upon the earth. It's coming. But you and I, we believe the word. God's not going to pour out his wrath on us, but he will pour it out on the earth. So the trumpet sounding voice speaking to John said, come up here. And I know some of you guys are thinking, yeah, wow. Oh, John become Pentecostal and the trumpet speaking tongues, right? No, most of us can interpret a trumpet sound. Most of us speak trumpet, if you may, right? There is a sound for getting up, a trumpet sound. How many of you guys served in the military? Only 7 of us? How many guys served in the military? Okay, there you go. Hands go up. The sound is reveille. Right? We will get up. You know, I mean, just get up when that sound. The trumpet sound for going to bed or for rest is called taps. Da, 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 right? We all are familiar with that. And at the baseball game, right? Most of us have heard that trumpet sound after the 7-inning stretch. Charge, right? Da, 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 da. Come on. You guys got to see more baseball. Listen, make it a mission to get out of the Western Slope and go to where the people live on the other side just to visit. You're not going to want to stay there. But get out to Coors Field and watch the Rockies lose to the Dodgers. No, I mean, but at least you could go out there and see what is going on out there, right? And the other parts. Just see. Get out of there as soon as you can. All right. So we get it. We understand. But today, listen, today, many of us are waiting to hear the trumpet sound that says to us, come up here. Are you not looking for that? We're just waiting for that. Now, we don't know what it's going to be like, but we will understand it and we will recognize it when we hear it. You say, where's the proof in the pudding? The proof in the pudding is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. God's word says this, "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed." Listen, we're going to be changed. It is going to be an amazing thing. My back and feet are not going to ache anymore, right? Neither are yours, right? My vision, I won't need my Walmart cheaters. I'm grateful for Walmart cheaters, but I'm not going to need them anymore. My family laughs at me because my notes, I don't know how you write notes, but mine is always 24 bold, right? 24. So I could read it. If I lose my glasses, I could almost read it. But it's a good thing, right? I'm perishing. I'm going to get a new body, and I'm looking forward to that, right? So it says, we shall be changed. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:17, we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So there is a difference here. Don't get this mixed up with Jesus coming back to earth, right? This is not the second coming that we're talking about here. It is the rapture of the church being caught up, right? Being taken up, where we'll meet the Lord in the air. Church, the good news from that point on is that wherever Jesus is, that is where everyone who is a, quote, legit Christian, right? Legit, because there are many players out there, will be. Because we are all part of the body of Christ. We will never be separated from Him. In other words, while He is in heaven, you and I are going to be in heaven. While He comes back to earth, you and I are going to come back to the earth with Him. When He goes into the new heaven and goes into the new earth, the new Jerusalem, if you may, we are going to be there with Him. We will always be with the Lord. He's not going to send you, "Hey, Ben, I got a mission for you. You know, I'll see you in about 5 years. Poof, and He kicked. No, we will always be with Him. We have access to Him. It's going to be an incredible time. So church, while there are certainly then things to look forward to, two things stand out for me, just for starters. There's many, many things. I said that, right? I qualified it. But there are two things that really stand out for me. Number one is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Right? Can you imagine eating and meeting with people that will live forever and ever? I mean, just thinking about it makes me hungry now. Now, I don't know how you were raised. When I came back from the military and whatnot, I was employed in aerospace. And in my late 20s and 30s, I was in what they call management type stuff. And it was great. Ben, now we're having a supper or we're having a dinner. We're going to welcome a new manager from so-and-so. Okay, great. But I love to go because it was usually at a country club or the Fireside Steakhouse or some fancy thing in Orange County and whatnot, right? And so we would certainly go out and eat. One time we had a special dinner and it was at a place in San Diego called Mr. A's. And they wanted my name. Well, why do you want my name? You'll see. I'd never been to the steakhouse in San Diego before called Mr. A's, but I went and they had matches with my name on it and a little napkin with my name, a little monogram right there. It was a VIP type thing. We were giving away scholarships and all this stuff, right? For aerospace. It was a great, great thing. But listen, in heaven, so I've always liked those things. I've always liked those little social things, meeting people, talking with people. I'm that kind of a guy. I blame it on my mom. If my mom never had anyone to witness to, she would witness to a fire hydrant, right? She would witness to a telephone pole. That's how I was raised up. But later on in life, I'm a people person. I love people. I want to be around people. So these kind of dinners, they're awesome. Judy would probably, my wife would say, "Honey, save a chair for me." Right. And Ben, you're always talking with buddy. Okay. So anyway, that is one of the things that I look forward to. Many things. The second thing I'm looking forward to, what did Jesus tell us? What did He promise us in John 14 verses 2-3? Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you." And I take that personally. I always put in my Bible, "I go to prepare a place for you, Ben." I write it down, right? I am looking forward to what Jesus has prepared for me as an individual. Hey, listen, I came to Him as a sinner and He saved me. I needed help and He helped me. I needed these big time jobs. He gave them to me. I am looking forward to spending time with Him. And it's a personal relationship. And when He says, "I go to prepare a place for you," man, I'm ready for it. I don't know what kind of place you look have in mind or what you're thinking, but I go out one of my left porticos. Yes, left side. Oh, a golf course. Thank you, Lord. How did you know I like to hit and take the tourist route with trees? I never go straight, but, you know, I love the game and whatnot. And on the right side, I don't know, maybe swimming pools, maybe whatever. In East LA, in an area called El Monte, we had this little beach called Marano Beach. How many of you guys know what Marano means? Anybody? Yeah, pig beach, right? That's exactly what it is. And it's for all those poor people. We park our cars and go in there. Ah, I just stepped on glass. Somebody broke a bottle of Coors or whatever. And it was just this little arroyo with water running in it. But we called it Marano Beach because sometimes it was, we didn't have the gas money to go out there to the real beaches, right? 15 minutes, 20 minutes away, but we didn't. But here's the deal. The Lord that knows us says, I go to prepare a place for, you should put your name on the Bible. Because Jesus thinks about you. Jesus values you. Jesus loves you. Jesus is personal. He saved you so that you could live for him and we can all live together forever and ever and ever. That's the God we serve. Just two things to look forward to when we get to heaven. So we get to verse 2, right? First part. Immediately, John says, I was in the spirit. Church, you have to ask, why is John in the spirit? Why? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood. You know, and I know, if we go up in the air, you know, once we get past the 100 yards or whatever, we can't breathe. You go underwater by 18 feet and your eardrums start going. Some of us are older. They start popping at 6 feet, right? Our eardrums. This body cannot take what forever being with the Lord is going to be all about. And so we receive new bodies. So John was taken up in the spirit. Second part of verse 2. And behold, he's there, a throne set in heaven. And one, capital O, so it's deity, and one sat on the throne. Church, this is the great, solid, beautiful throne of God. Of God. This is the first thing that John sees. He looked at God and he didn't see any form. Now, before we get to verse 3, we have some description. But I always thought, and maybe you always thought, who's the first one you're going to see in heaven? Some of us said Jesus right away. Yeah, we're going to see Jesus. I always thought I was going to see my mom first. Hopefully, I'll see my dad. You know, but I always knew, I've always known I'm going to see mom. And like I said before, she's going to tell me, get a haircut, get some coffee, you know, we'll sit down and talk, right? It's my mom. But the point is, we all have our thoughts about what we're going to see. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to see God first, but it could be. First thing we do is we see God, the Father, what he's done, and our hearts are just, again, enlarged in appreciation for what he's done for us as we start recognizing, our minds start growing, and oh my goodness, I didn't realize, I didn't appreciate you enough, I didn't sing holy, holy, holy three times, right? I didn't do that, whatever, but it could be that that's who we're going to see first. Or perhaps at the marriage supper of the Lamb, again, kind of like my little background, right? We're having dinner, time for dessert, and all of a sudden the master of ceremonies comes out and said, I want you guys, hey, let's give an applause for Father God. You know, Father God walks in, I don't know. But it's exciting to think about these things. Something is happening for sure up in heaven, and we get to be a part of it. It might be the throne room. It might be the marriage supper of the Lamb. We don't know for sure, but let's see what John, we're seeing it from John's perspective. So he said, behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, verse 3, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald.
You've been listening to Come Drink the Water with Pastor Ben Garotti. Pastor Ben has been opening up the book of Revelation to us in this series. In Revelation 2, we see Jesus addressing seven churches. He praises and corrects most of them in turn. When you read through these letters to the churches, which one strikes you the most? I think I need the words to the church in Ephesus most often, where Jesus says, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first." As I have journeyed through life with Christ and learned so much about all areas of the scriptures, it's been easy to replace the fervent love from the beginning with the head knowledge. I begin to run on what I know instead of running on the everlasting, all-encompassing grace of God, and I forget that love is what it is all about. Maybe your struggle is not the same as mine, but I know that God is also speaking to you today through these letters. Open up your heart and let Him speak to you. Come Drink the Water is a ministry of Calvary Chapel Montrose in Montrose, Colorado. Are you in the area? We would love to see you at one of our services. You can find us online at calvarymontrose.com. There you'll find everything you need to know to join us this Sunday. Once again, that's calvarymontrose.com. And while you're there, check out and download our mobile app. Thank you for being here today. We've loved having this time together with you and the Word of God. We hope to see you again next time right here on Come Drink the Water. Many captives free, Holy Spirit.